Do you have the Christmas spirit yet? Let's start the celebration early. I'm going to be sensitive to time this morning because we need to dismiss. You go home and eat a very little bit so that you can get back early for our Christmas banquet tonight. But I want to talk to you this morning for just a few minutes about a sure word of prophecy. A sure word of prophecy. Actually, give me 15, 20 minutes this morning, and this is more of a history lesson. Now, I enjoyed history in school. We owe a lot to history. This time of year, we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus, and we're reminded again why history is his story. I remember in high school, I was in the 10th grade, I believe, and even though I enjoy history, I was in history class and I had fallen asleep. I was at my desk doing something like this in the 10th grade in history class, and history can get a little dull at times, even though I enjoy history, and I was asleep at my desk until the history teacher in the class that day called out a name from the history books. And the teacher said, Karl Marx. And I woke up. I thought for sure I was in trouble. I knew I had dozed off in history, but he was talking about the founder of communism or whatever he did. The other name that sounds a lot like mine, but this history lesson this morning, as brief as it is going to look back over thousands of years before Christ was born and the promises God gave the prophets in the Old Testament that the day would surely come that this prophecy would be fulfilled, that the Messiah, the Son of God, would come to earth. Now, the word prophecy is defined as a divine foretelling of future events. And we believe God has always spoken and that God still speaks today in many ways. He speaks from his word, of course. He speaks through wisdom. If you can hear a word of wisdom, you've heard a voice from God. He speaks through the right counsel. He speaks by his spirit to us on the inside, and he speaks from outside through men and women who are prophetically gifted. He also speaks through circumstances and through providence in our lives sometime. But we believe in prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, one Old Testament prophet foretold of the birth of the Lord. Isaiah said, there the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning forever God is with us. Imagine if we had lived B.C., most of the people were illiterate, could not read or write. There was no internet. There were no libraries, not many books written. It was archaic times. But the word that was spoken by God, the prophetic word calling forth the day in the future when the Messiah would be born, the Savior of the world, that was passed down from mothers and fathers to their children, and then a generation later to their children, and later on to their children. This went on for thousands of years without much of it being written down, just passed down traditionally. We, if we had lived back then, would tell our children, oh, sin is a real thing. You will feel the curse of it. You will feel the weight of it. You will feel the guilt of it. But the hope we have, son, the hope we have, daughter, is prophets from God have spoken for centuries that the day will come, all of that will change. God will send a Messiah, the Savior. He's the one who will be able to relieve us from the guilt of our sins. And we would teach our children until that day comes when the Messiah is born. We go to the temple and we offer our sacrifice as an animal, and we depend on the blood of an animal to cover our sin and give us some relief from our guilt. But we have to do it repeatedly. And oh, they looked forward to the day that had been prophesied for thousands of years, that the Messiah would be born. Now, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the prophetic word began speaking about the Savior that would come. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve fell, the curse of sin, and God was separated from us as his people because he's holy, and now we were sinful. And as soon as the curse of sin was found in the earth, in the garden, God himself gave the first prophecy that redemption would come to mankind. And he did it as soon as sin entered. As soon as sin... Sin cannot get too far ahead of you, so far ahead of you that God's redemption can immediately catch up to you and make it right. The moment sin fell on the earth, God spoke to the devil. He spoke to the serpent, and he said to the serpent, the devil, God said, I will put hostility and hatred between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Now, it would be easy at first reading to think the woman God was referring to was Eve, but he wasn't. He was referring prophetically to Mary, who would not even be born for thousands of years. And so God got involved to redeem the world from sin by giving a prophetic word as soon as sin occurred. That's how immediate God is to meet us where we need, where our need is. And the seed of a woman was the first prophecy that the Messiah would come, that the Messiah would be born, and he would be born of a woman. Not Eve, who committed the sin, but Mary, who was chosen by God to carry his son in her womb. Now, up until that time, it would be easy to think, well, if God's ever going to send a Messiah, if he's ever going to send his son, certainly no man or woman can be involved in his birth. But God prophetically told the future, told it to the devil. I love it when God tells the devil what's up. It's Satan, I'm going to put hatred between you and her, the woman, and between your seed and the seed of a woman. So God himself foretold the future prophetically in the book of Genesis that the Redeemer would be born of a woman. And then in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah declared that the Son of God would be born of a virgin. It amazes me. It amazes me that something that impossible, that a virgin can get pregnant and have a baby. It amazes me that I've never had a doubt that Mary was a virgin. It was prophesied hundreds of years before Mary got pregnant. Now, it's one thing to wrap your head around the fact that God prophesied, oh, the Redeemer will come as a seed of a woman. Okay, we got that. A woman can have a baby. But then the prophetic word that got more specific. Sometimes when prophecy is given, and we believe in prophets today, sometimes when a prophecy is given, it's general at first. If you're in a service and a prophetic word goes forth, sometimes early on in the delivery of that prophetic word, it sounds like it could fit for everybody. But then as the prophetic word continues, it gets more specific, more and more specific. So God himself prophesied in the Garden of Eden that Jesus would be born of a woman. But then Isaiah prophesied, the woman will be a virgin. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then in Luke chapter 1, we see in the New Testament that prophetic word realized. It said, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Now, that's pretty specific, that the Son of God would be born of a virgin. Have you ever doubted that? You take somebody who has no faith at all, none at all, and it's laughable, the thought that a virgin could get pregnant. For some of you mothers and fathers out here with daughters who are of age, if your daughter ever comes to you and says, Daddy, Mama, I'm pregnant, but I've never had sex with a man, I would doubt that. That's doubtful. I don't have faith for that. But I've never doubted the virginity of Mary. It is a sure word of prophecy that she received. And then prophets continued to declare specific details about the birth of Jesus. A prophet declared that Jesus, the Son of God, would be from the seed of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And in you, speaking to Abraham, and in you, Abraham, shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. So he was prophesied to be born of a woman, and then more specifically, born of a virgin woman. And then he was prophesied to be from the seed or the lineage of Abraham. We look back to Abraham as the father of our faith. Then it was even more specific. The next prophetic word, he would be born from the tribe of Judah, a certain region. There were 12 tribes, one nation, 12 tribes. But the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. In Genesis 49, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And then, even more specific. So now we know the Son of God's going to be born by a woman, and we know the Son of God's going to be born by a virgin woman. And then we know the Son of God's going to be in the family lineage of the father of our faith, Abraham. And then we know more specifically, not only just Abraham's lineage, but from the tribe of Judah. And then the prophets got even more specific by saying he would be born in Bethlehem. Now, I've been to Bethlehem, and there is Jerusalem. It's the capital of the world and has been forever since there's been the world. And just down the road a bit from Jerusalem, the capital of the world is this small Timmonsville, Bishopville, Effingham, and those who are listening in other nations or other states and hearing Effingham. Yes, there is a place. But you would think the Son of God would be born in Jerusalem, where the spiritual capital of the world has always been, God's chosen people. But no, it was a quaint, it was an unassuming location, but the prophet was very specific. Micah, the Old Testament prophet, said, "But thou, Bethlehem, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me that one who is to be the ruler of Israel." And that was confirmed in the New Testament in Luke chapter 2. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. That was the next prophetic word, that the Son of God would be heir to the throne of David. Now, that had ramifications too. He would be heir to the throne of David. It had been prophesied. It had to happen. It had to be born that way. In Isaiah, the prophetic word came forth, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it." And that was confirmed in Luke 1 in the New Testament. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And so we see Old Testament prophets declaring to their generation, and then the prophecies they spoke being passed down from parents to children, and then to their children, and to their children's children, right on up until the moment of the blessed event. He would be born the seed of a woman. He would be born of a virgin. He would be born the seed of Abraham. He would be born from the tribe of Judah. He would be born in the small city of Bethlehem, and he would be an heir to the throne of David. And then finally, it was prophesied that he would be preceded by a forerunner. In Malachi, the last book of the Old Covenant, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." Talking about John the Baptist, that's confirmed in Luke chapter 7. "This is he of whom it was written, Behold, I will send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare the way before you." So every word that was given prophetically by Old Testament prophets speaking to the birth of the Son of God that would redeem the world, that would be able to forgive our sin and reconcile sinners back to God forever, every word was a sure word. When you get a prophetic word, if it's really from God, it is a sure and certain word. Don't you know that through those thousands of years, our forefathers had so many opportunities to doubt, Well, I've heard it all my life. My daddy heard it all his life, and his daddy before him on, that we won't have to die in our sin forever, that there is hope. God's going to redeem us. He's going to be reconciled to us. Holy God is going to forgive us and embrace us and surround us with his presence again. And it was just a dream. It was just a hope. It was nothing more than a fantasy, except for the certainty of the prophetic word. Every Old Testament prophet who spoke in detail about the coming of the Lord gave a sure word of prophecy. And then, you know the rest of the story. 2,000 years ago, it happened. I know what it is to carry the guilt of sin. I'm not the only sinner in this house. I said I'm not the only one. Anybody else out there know how heavy the guilt of sin feels? I mean, I've done things, well, it was a long time ago. Long time ago. Well, Thursday, wasn't it? I don't know. Let me see. It's been a long time ago. But I'm not the only one. I'm sure you know what it's like to miss the mark. And as soon as you realize, oh my God, I have sinned, I've blown it. In the natural, you almost felt such a heavy weight on you, the guilt of that sin, that you felt like it would help a little if you could just bend over because of the weight that was so heavy on you. The Old Testament prophets spoke of the baby that would be born that would stop all of that, that would be born of a virgin, that would live a pure life, that would give his life for the forgiveness of our sin and would be raised back to life and give us spiritual, everlasting life for those who believe on him. I know how it feels to sin and feel the guilt, but Jesus took the weight of every sin I have ever committed, and you and everybody else in the world, all at once. He died once and for all. But it was no surprise to humanity because of a sure word of prophecy that was given over and over again. It began in general. And then as the prophets kept speaking, it got more specific and more specific. Well, he's going to be born of a woman. He's going to be a virgin. Oh, he's going to be born seed of Abraham and from the tribe of Judah. Oh, it's going to be Bethlehem. Oh, you'll know when the time is close. Just before he's revealed to the world, there's going to be a messenger that will prepare the way for him, John the Baptist. Every word of prophecy in the Old Testament scriptures was accurate. And so therefore, people were ready. People were expecting it. And surely, God kept his word as he always does. And we have a lot to celebrate, not just at Christmas, but every day in the life of a believer. Every single day, Jesus is Lord. Every single day. I know it may be a little awkward because of our tables. Sanctuary is going to be beautiful in just a little bit, though. Centerpieces, tablecloths. I mean, the decorum is going to be spectacular. I hope the Lord don't come back this afternoon and we miss our banquet. If so, there'll be a better banquet. I'll see you at the better banquet if that happens. But as awkward as it may be, can you stand where you are? Stand around the tables. I want Pastor Chris to come back.